Welcome back to From the Stand. I'm your host, Steve Buss. Glad to have you with us. Opening day of AirVenture Oshkosh 2016. Well, it is amazing to be back here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Beautiful morning, as Jack mentioned just a minute ago. This portion of the broadcast brought to you by the Commemorative Air Force. The mission of the CAF is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit the CAF. The tent is on the southeast corner of the Boeing Centennial Plaza, or visit them on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. Right now, we're going to talk EIA AirVenture Museum with Zach Bogman, who is the curator of the museum. Congratulations on your promotion, Zach.
Thank you very much.
So you've been with EIA for a number of years now.
14.
14. Oh. You started when you were 12, obviously. Your initial hire was with the Timeless Voices program. Talking with veterans and aviation folks about all of their experiences in aviation. And then that sort of transitioned you to the museum, and now you are the curator.
I'm the curator.
So tell us, what is new this year that folks need to see when they're here?
Well, the absolute newest thing that we have in the museum is a 1935 Bugatti Aerolith car recreation, which we have just for this... Well, through the end of August, it's a very rare recreation of a automobile that disappeared, and nobody knows what happened to it. Very, very, very interesting looking Art Deco kind of machine, and it's parked right next to our Bugatti Racer. So that's the absolute newest thing in the museum.
Okay.
We have our James Dietz World War I art exhibit. That ends on Sunday, so if you haven't seen it, get to the museum and see that exhibit. Some fantastic artwork by Jim Dietz. He's one of the probably the most well-known or one of the most well-known aviation artists in the world today. We have a exhibit on the 345th Bomb Group, the Air Apaches, which they flew B-25s in the Pacific, did a lot of low-level strafing. They had a lot of gunship B-25s. That's an exhibit that the association, the 345th Bomb Group Association, sponsored. And we'll be adding to that exhibit here at the end of August. Some big models and some new photos and things. They're continuously giving us more things to add to the exhibit. So
good.
Working on that. And, of course, with the 2 millionth Young Eagle coming up and the focus on the Young Eagle program, we're just starting development of a Young Eagle exhibit that will fill the space where the Dietz exhibit is now in one of the galleries. And that will be launching, I think, in January of 2017. And, of course, the biggest exhibit that we have right now is the Commemorative Air Force Nose Art exhibit.
Well, that leads right into why the gentleman is sitting next to you, Keegan Chetwynd, who's the curator of the CAF Air Power Museum. So between the two of you, you are probably the two youngest curators of major aviation museums in the country. And has that caused any challenges for either one of you?
Not really. Like I said, I've been with EAA for 14 years. Ron Twelman, the previous curator, had been with EAA for 27 years. I've been his assistant since 2004, and he really prepared me well for taking over the job. And really, he left it in a good place. You know, no messes to clean up, anything like that. So it's been an easy transition for me, and so far I haven't had a whole lot of grief from anybody.
Well... I think more than grief, what it actually ends up causing is surprise. Yep. From people. We do meet a lot of people. I think, Zach, this is probably fair to say of you as well, that we do meet people who are kind of surprised that we do what we do, and that we do work for institutions, particularly in the case of the CAF. We often find people are kind of surprised by what we are required to know about World War II in order to be effective at our jobs.
It's amazing. So we mentioned the Nose Art collection, and if you could just give us a little background on, well, first of all, what exactly would people see, and where do they come from?
Go ahead, Zach. Tell us what they'll see when they visit the AirVenture Museum.
Well, right now, the exhibit, the Nose Art exhibit, is all located in our Eagle Hangar, which focuses on World War II aviation. And this week, the entire hangar is a little bit disarray. because that hangar is used for various events through the week, the biggest being our gathering, which is our annual fundraiser. So when people visit right now, all the panels, there are 34 panels, four of which are located upstairs on the Eagle Hangar mezzanine that people can go see. And then there are, I think, about 12 or 14 that are located on the floor. Anybody that's familiar with the Eagle Hangar, they are located on the south end of the hangar up against the map wall. There is a corridor created that people can walk down and see the panels. And then there are some more risque panels in what's an area called the secret area. And unfortunately, those aren't really accessible right now. There's some equipment stored back there for these big events going on. But you can see the bulk of the collection. And certainly the kid-friendly portion of the collection is accessible right now.
Yes, the PG panels.
The PG.
The PG, yeah, I like that. Keegan, talk a little bit about these actual panels. I mean, we've all seen Nozark through the years, you know, painted on pristine aluminum skin, and it's very pretty. But these are not that.
So at the end of World War II, when aircraft were being scrapped in record numbers, there was a gentleman named Mino Pratt who was working at a salvage yard at Walnut Ridge in Arkansas, and he saw this artwork coming back on these airplanes from Europe and from the Pacific, and he had a singular thought pass through his mind, which wasn't, wow, these would be terrific to put into an art museum. He thought, I have a ranch, and I have a hog problem, and wouldn't those be just the coolest fence? So he took photos of the ones that he liked and passed them to a work team that took the same tools that were scrapping airplanes, axes, saws, cutting torches, and they went down the line and they tried to find the ones he had photographed and cut them from the panels so that he could take just the panel home, not the whole nose of the airplane. Now, that is really interesting, because when you see the panels, that you can even see the false start marks where they realized they were cutting in too close to the art, and they stop, move over, and continue cutting. So they do have jagged edges. They're very much as they were taken out of that field. We're very lucky in that we do have as much as we do. We know from his photographs that there were airplanes that he had wanted for his fence that had made it to the smelter before the work crews could get to them. So he took these back to his property, where they stayed in a barn for many, many years until his son, who was a CAF member, found them. He said, Dad, you know, we should give these to the CAF. And his dad said, oh, goodness, no, let's make that fence now that you're here to help me. After a period of prolonged negotiation, the panels did end up in the care of the CAF. And several years ago, they were designated as an American treasure by the Save America's Treasures Grant Program. This is the first time the panels have traveled away from CAF headquarters, once at Harlingen and subsequently at Midland. And we're really excited to be able to share them with a broader portion of the American population and the attendees here at AirVenture.
You mentioned that they're literally cut off the aircraft. And if you go see the panels, you have to look behind them, because when you see the jagged edges, that's one thing. But I remember looking at them the first time and seeing all of the tubing and wiring that's still just hanging onto the backs of these airplanes. You know, this is the authentic real deal.
Yeah, the backs of the panels are an interesting thing, because for so long they've been displayed and the fronts are well known to people, especially in the aviation community. But when you get behind them, they become real and they become human in a way, because you start to see the electrical flight suit plugins that were used by the crews that flew the airplanes, and it takes you back to that time to realize that these were all real pieces of war equipment being used in theater, and that were eventually, you know, they were lucky enough to return their crews here to the United States before the airplanes were scrapped.
And Zach, what has this meant to the museum, having this collection?
It's increased attendance drastically, particularly on weekends. We've had a number of people. We usually hit anywhere from about 100 to 200 people over the course of a weekend. Because Oshkosh really is kind of, other than this week, it's not a visitor destination, really. But it has attracted people from all over the country. Actually, there's people from all over the world that have come to see this exhibit. And our attendance has just gone up dramatically because of it. Not entirely without some controversy because of some of the risque panels. But I think the complaints have been few and far between, and most people, once they've been told what this represents, you know, these are 34 combat veterans that were part of the crews flying into combat. And once they understand that, you know, the mind opens up to what people are seeing and they come to appreciate it.
The 34 panels do represent the world's largest collection of surviving authentic World War II nose art. And they're quite unlike anything else that you can see on display anywhere else in the world.
Excellent. And Zach, how, if someone's on the grounds and they want to get up to the museum, how do they get there?
There is a museum shuttle bus at the museum bus park. There's a large bus tower. You can take any of the trams. It'll take you to the tower. Hop on one of the school buses. It'll take you right up to the museum and just go back to the Eagle Hangar, and you can walk that corridor and look at these pieces of history.
And don't forget the Dietz exhibit and the 345th as well.
Yep.
All exactly. Right. Thank you for joining us this morning, Zach and Keegan, and hope you have a great week here at AirVenture. And from the stand, I'm Steve Buss, and this is EIA Radio.